wars without end, economies under pressure, truth under attack. Jesus said these would be the signs. The birth pains are accelerating, and tonight we discuss why the world has entered its final phase.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of Last Christian. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. Mr. David Paxton here joining us from New York City. How are things going up there? Yeah, how's it going out there, David? You're on the, it looks like you're away from the world. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm helping out because the Iranians, they needed some Starlink stuff. So I'm kind of guiding the satellites over there for Elon.
They need something, that's for sure.
He said he was going to give it to them for free because Iran shut down the internet and electric and everything else. The media blackout, they called it. So Elon said, well, I'm going to turn on Starlink free.
I'll tell you what, it's just another aspect of what we're going to be talking about today, the birth pains accelerating. And we can now say it, you know, instead of the world's about to enter into the final phase, now it is clearly the world has entered the final phase. We'll be talking about that on this show. David, go ahead and pray us into this episode, and then I'll show everybody what we're going to talk about.
Absolutely. So, Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to spread your word worldwide. We ask that these would go out as seeds and that you would water them and they would grow into 30, 60, and 100-fold and reap a harvest for your kingdom. We know that you want to come and dwell with us and you want more people in your bride. So we ask that we would achieve this purpose as your ambassadors. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you are correct. I'm looking forward to it. And from all indications, again, I do believe that not only are we in the final phase, but we're in the final phase of the final phase. So anyway, let's look at this real quick.
I think March is the end of this jubilee. So
Something else is going on in March, but we'll get to that one of these days. We'll start off with how Jesus defined the final phase of this long before anybody else did. We'll speak about the global conflict, which has now become a permanent condition. Then in the second half of the show, we'll go over creation, economies, and societies are all under strain together. And then the final part of the show is all about deception, the apostasy, and, of course, the conditioning of the human mind for what is yet to come, but is fast approaching. So let's just kick things off here, David, with Jesus defined the final phase before anyone else. Let's begin with this. When people talk about the end times, they often begin in the wrong place. They start with headlines, with speculation, timelines, or personalities. Now, Jesus did not begin there. When his disciples privately asked him about the end of the age, he did not give them dates, charts, or countdowns. He gave them conditions. In Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, Jesus laid out the single most important prophetic framework in all of Scripture. What stands out immediately is not what he mentions first, but what he warns about or warns against first. Before he speaks of wars, earthquakes, or famines, he says, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Now, that warning sets the tone for everything that follows it. Jesus understood that the final phase before his return would be marked by confusion, distortion, and deception, and not in clarity. So, he introduces a phrase that is often misunderstood. All these things are beginning of sorrows. Now, in the original language, this phrase refers to birth pains, contractions that increase in frequency, intensity, and inevitability. Birth pains are not random. They are purposeful. They move in one direction only. Jesus was explaining that the end would not begin with chaos out of nowhere. It would arrive through escalation. Conditions would worsen, accelerate, overlap, and converge. What once appeared occasional would become constant. What once felt distant would feel immediate. the key point Jesus was making being that these signs are not meant to cause panic. They're meant to create recognition. He never tells believers to fear these developments. He tells them to watch for those developments. One last one here, David. Let's see if I can get it up here. Second, one, here we go. There it is. Machine messing with me a little bit. Now, the distinction here matters, that fear paralyzes while watchfulness prepares. So what separates this generation from previous ones is not that wars exist or disasters occur or that deception spreads. Those things have always existed. What separates this generation is that all of them are intensifying at exactly the same time and across the entire globe without relief or reversal. So that by itself is the definition of the final phase. The question I'm going to lay out to you, David, right away, and then let you have it here is, you know, do you think that this is all definitely playing into the last of the last, basically, phases here? And also, I guess the big question being, or statement really, contractions only do work one way. I mean, once they start in a human body, mm-hmm. you're not going to call it off. You know, I mean, it's going to, left unchecked, it is going to occur, right?
You might get your Braxton Hicks contraction, but that still doesn't negate the fact that the real ones are right behind it.
Right.
So eventually, you know, you get past 9 months and you'd be like, okay, something's up.
mm-hmm, right. So I'll let you comment on all this, David. Just go ahead and take it wherever you want.
Well, it's true. On the first, right on the outset, you know, if we are born again, then we know the outcome of this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you take courage, because Paul even talks about it. He says, listen, I was whipped. You know, ever been whipped 39 times Mm-mm. with a cat of nine tails?
No. Oh, no.
So imagine that they whip you like 39 times within, you know, inches of death.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He did that five times. Five times. Oh. He was stoned and left for dead three times.
Oh, man.
Right? And then he's like, and then I was put in jail, and, you know, they took my lunch money and everything else. So, and he's like, oh, these momentary light afflictions, mm-hmm. they're nothing compared mm-hmm. to the glory. And, you know, if you understand that, if you really understand what the word is telling you, then you'll understand that this is actually an exciting time, because all these things will happen. But it says, oh, death, where is your sting?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's grave. There's no victory in the grave. No sting in death, which means even if it comes to a point where you do die, it's not going to hurt mm-hmm. because he takes that away. And that's highlighted by Stephen. Stephen was literally being stoned to death, and he's looking up in heaven and says, oh, look, there's Jesus. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
He's like, he just took him right out of that. And especially compared to the glory that's on the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's, I guess, kind of like being constipated. You know, it's going to hurt for a second, but then it's going to feel really good when you're done. It's probably a little better than that, though.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, a lot better. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a flat feel. Wait. No. Wait till
we get. Well, you know, one thing I want to point out here is that, yes, wars have happened throughout history and all that kind of stuff, and earthquakes and everything else, but it's the convergence. You know, that's the main point.
Exactly.
Right here is the fact that
that's what I was going to get to.
Yeah, go ahead.
When Jesus was talking to him, we read it in Matthew and in Mark and in Luke, mm-hmm. he talks about what we call the Olivet Discourse. So they asked him specifically, because remember, the disciples had no idea of this church thing. They thought Jesus was coming to reign now. And they thought that was it. He's going to take over, and this is cool. What's happening? Why aren't we taking over?
Right.
And he had to explain to them, no, you're going to see this. You're going to see wars, the rumors of wars, the earthquakes, and it's going to be famines. Mm-hmm. The world's going to fall apart. But the key part, he said, that's just the beginning.
It's the beginning.
Mm-hmm. That's just to let you know you're pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we are seeing all those things now, which means, okay, we're pregnant. So when is the actual birth? That's the real question, and that's right. What everybody wants to know. But it's like, I'm not telling you, because then you'll be bad up until the last day and then try and be good.
Right.
So he doesn't tell us, but he does warn us when you see this. Now, those are the birth pains. You went into labor, and here we go. It might take an hour. It might take 3 days. So in prophecy time, you know, it might be this year. It might be in 50 years.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but it's here.
Isn't it also... a little bit because of the conditioning of the world, and really we'll get into that more later on in the show. But in other words, it's only been in the last century or so that Christianity has really watered itself down. And that more and more people are turning away from God and becoming more secular, more accepting of what's going on. It's like, oh, well, you know, we'll get past this. Don't you think that kind of plays into it?
That's the Laodicean church. You know, hey, we got everything. We're fed, we're rich, we don't need nothing. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, you're wretched, miserable, blind, poor, and naked. That's some list he's got.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, and that's what happened. And I think it's the onset originally the industrial age, and now the, this media digital age that we're in, people think they don't need anything. And they're even Elon Musk, you know, even though I'm running his Starlink stuff right now, he thinks that, you know, AI is going to take over everything and people won't need to work and do anything, and that everyone's going to get a universal basic income. So here we are with a lack of responsibility again. Yeah. And that's the problem. When you have no responsibility, there's no urgency to get any work done. There's no urgency to look for the truth. It'll be fine. I got my income and everything's great. And there's no incentive to find out more truth. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, I agree. All right, well, let's look at this, because this also plays into it heavily. And that is the global conflict, which has now become a permanent condition. So, again, now throughout history, wars have followed a pattern. There's conflict erupts, spreads, it exhausts itself, and then it eventually ends. Sometimes that ended through victory, sometimes through collapse, sometimes through negotiated peace. But the cycle, that cycle has largely disappeared now. Remember that Jesus said, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. And he did not say, he did not say that there would be one final war immediately. He described a world where conflict becomes continuous, unresolved, and increasingly interconnected. So you got today's wars do not end with any clarity or cleanly. They fragment, they spill over borders, they draw in proxies, and they routinely reignite after ceasefires. In other words, they expand instead of end. Now, one conflict fuels another. Regional wars now have global implications that are economic, political, and military. Alliances shift rapidly. Former partners become rivals. Former enemies cooperate temporarily. And stability no longer returns. It just pauses. Now, Jesus said this would happen. At the center of this instability remains Israel. Scripture never portrays Israel as peripheral in the last days. It portrays Israel as central, contested, and isolated. Jesus said Jerusalem would become a burdensome stone, and that description remains accurate, as there's no other nation on earth that draws the same level of obsession, pressure, and hostility. In Daniel 9:26, Scripture describes a time when war and desolations are determined, not accidental, not temporary, but appointed as part of a larger unfolding. What we are witnessing now is not merely an increase in conflict, but a loss of resolution. The world is learning that diplomacy cannot permanently restrain what Scripture said would persist. This matters prophetically because birth pains do not retreat. Once they begin, they move forward. They intensify, they shorten the space between the contractions. What should be clear to anyone paying attention is the permanence of global conflict is not an anomaly. It is alignment. Now, the only argument that I've got with that, David, is that the world sees this and understands it. I don't think they see it. I don't think they understand it. I don't think they pay a lick of attention to Scripture. But other than that, it is, everything there is true. What do you think?
Yeah, well, probably a bad choice of words. The world sees it. The church sees it.
Right.
True church.
Some churches, yeah.
Yeah, the real church, not the fake ones out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, like we were talking about, this is crystal clear. This is here to stay. We are stepping into that age. There's no going back. You know, what are you going to do? Turn back time and everyone get rid of their cell phones?
That's not going to happen.
Right? Well, everyone's going to, let's go back, even 100 years and everyone get rid of their television set.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Well, I mean, you look at the modern world right now. My grandkids, they don't know a world that didn't have a TV. They don't know a world that didn't have internet. They don't know a world that didn't have cell phones. All that stuff was already there. From my generation, I remember the first moonshot. I remember the first. I can remember the first rocket that they put on television. They actually showed this on national television. The rocket took off. It tilted and it fell over. I mean, that's how far I can remember. But
I remember sitting and watching them land on the moon.
Yeah, me too. You know, but
despite whether you think it's fake or not,
right?
I watched it.
It would have been a heck of a fake, and at that time, yeah, it would have been a heck of a fake.
CGI. In 1969. But anyway,
yeah. But the point is that the world's conditioned for this, and I don't think they see anything unusual. I think that they believe that all this bad stuff eventually is going to blow over, and now, you guys don't blast me for saying this, but there's going to be a lot of people say, well, after Donald Trump leaves office, everything will go back and everything's just going to be hunky-dory. It's not going to happen. Things are going to get worse and worse and worse.
He's the only thing keeping it down right now.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
All the wars around the world. Blaming him for the wars. He's the one that's stopping them by being strong.
I totally agree with you. Of course, now, we're going to have people out there that disagree, and that's fine. You can do that. But please open your mind up to the possibility that you could be wrong and we could be right. Just for a second, open your mind to it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that doesn't mean like he's perfect. Like Nebuchadnezzar was used by God.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he had a few issues,
right.
Mm-hmm. Like building a giant 60-cubit statue of himself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Other than that, but just fun things like that.
Yeah, right.
And well, he used who was it? Yeah, and the guy on the coin, remember?
Forget. I forget, David.
Yeah, here he is. The temple
you
coin.
You got it. I know you got that somewhere.
Cyrus, that's it. With King Cyrus.
Yeah, Cyrus. Yeah. Okay.
It's like I knew his name. Cyrus, he was used by God to do this, and he was a builder, and that's exactly what it is. He had all his issues too, but God still used him to bring about his purposes, and I think that's where we're at now. People don't realize this. Iran collapsing is huge.
It is huge. Yeah.
That's Persia. Hello?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my question in all this, Iran going under, if it does. I mean, there's no guarantee yet that the whole thing's going to go bad. But my question is, does that mean at that moment that Israel is going to take a deep breath and say, peace and safety?
A land of unwalled villages, it says, and that gives the impression that they're not trying to defend themselves anymore.
Right. Yeah. And, a lot of their struggle they're going to feel like is over if Iran topples. Now, at the same time, we have gone into Venezuela, and, you know, Donald Trump says that he's in charge of there, and he's going to, you know, all
did
this,
you see that?
All this oil, you know, is coming, right? Okay, so yep. If Iran no longer can produce its oil for Russia.
Well, China was the big one.
Yeah, China's huge because they were getting it.
They can't sell it to China anymore.
Yeah, Venezuela and Iran. If both of those went down, then oil would become a really important thing. And, mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I have always believed that it's because Israel has so much oil and that type of thing that is what attracts them to attack it. I could be wrong.
Here you're at a point. Now, here's China and Russia, and they have they can't get oil from their nefarious sources anymore. Mm-hmm. And they realize that Israel does. And they're like, well, Israel's tiny. Let's mm-hmm. go steal theirs.
Yeah.
I mean, this kind of puts more pressure on them to do that.
Yeah. That, I think, is my point or mm-hmm. you know, roundabout way here is, do you think that they relax too much if Iran falls? Or do you think
well, they
that,
will because they're still apostate. And then,
or how about Iran not falling? I mean, that's still a possibility, but instead they entrench even more. Is there anything in Scripture that shows what's got to happen first or what will happen first as far as Iran goes?
It's not deep. I mean, we always talk about Gog and Magog. Mm-hmm. So let's take a look.
Okay. Because, you know, I'm just curious as to, you know, because it seems like that if Iran was to fall and go more democratic or, you know, constitutional republic, however they wanted to do it, that would take off a lot of strain. And we know that the Bible is very clear that the attack on Israel comes with a major contributor being Iran. So, you know, I'm just trying to figure this out. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, check it out. That's So we know it's Persia, but it's actually the territory is called Elam.
Okay.
And we see Elam in Jeremiah 49:34.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might, and I will scatter them among the nations. But it shall come to pass in the latter days, which is now, mm-hmm. that I will bring again the captivity of Elam. Wow.
Okay.
So he broke the bow, worldwide dispersion and latter day restoration. So here we are. We're like smack in the middle of it. And Isaiah 21:2 says, go up, Elam, besiege, O Media, and the sighing thereof I have made to cease. So, yeah.
Mm. It sounds like it's following prophecy perfectly in that case, because, you know, if you go back to, was it 1979, I believe, that the Islamic Republic came to be. So that would have been the regathering, right?
The busting up of Persia, because caused a lot of people to leave.
Right. Yes, it did.
Okay. Yeah. And now all there's Iranians worldwide rejoicing over this. And that's what we see. Persia is explicitly prophesied centuries before its rise.
Mm-hmm.
So he talks about that, the kingdom, like Nebuchadnezzar's castle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Medo-Persia, that they're basically the silver portion.
Mm-hmm.
So Babylon was there, and he says, oh, I'm at the head of gold. And then after Nebuchadnezzar was gone came the Medes and the Persians, which is all that area over there. The Medes are basically like where Turkey is and stuff. And they were two powers on this because they have the two arms, you know, the chest and arms.
Yeah.
And they were ruling together. And then after them came Greece, which was the brass, the torso. And then Rome became the legs and then the feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they'll be there for a long time. And then at the end time with the 10 toes. So, yeah, it says that they were prophesied long before they even came into being. And Babylon in Daniel 5:28 is given to the Medes and the Persians.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the ram with two horns, again, Media and Persia.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, look for another nation over there, the Medes, to come back as well.
Okay, who are the Medes? What do you know?
I think it's like the all like the Kurds and all those people.
Oh, okay. Like, so it'd be those, like all,
those maybe, other tribes over there that are kind of I believe they were Abraham's other kids from Keturah.
Okay, would that encompass like Iraq and
I think Iraq is still part of Persia. I'd have to look up on there because okay. You know, after World War II, they bust it up and cut them up into different things.
Yeah,
but I think they're actually the same people, and they just cut them in half.
The reason I said that is because I knew that when we were in Iraq, you know, doing all that stuff, that I was hearing a lot about the Kurds, you know, and the Sunnis and all that. You know, that was
they're all intermixed now, which is why they're called Arabs.
Yeah,
but you'd have to really go through a big long history of that, but it's all in that area. And it all fits the prophecies. It kind of does. We'll find out exactly who they are in the end.
Yeah, it's not going to be long. Okay, before we get out of the first half here, I'm gonna do something I rarely do, and that is y'all just listen to it, okay? Just pay attention here.
Are you looking to feel better, look better, and create real income at the same time? Oliabo brings together premium wellness and beauty products with a powerful business opportunity. Built for real people right now. Whether you're focused on health, confidence, or financial freedom, Oliabo gives you a path forward. This is your opportunity to take control of your future today. For more information, visit GoOliveUSA.com. That's GoOliveUSA.com.
Okay. And if you didn't catch that, that's GoOliveUSA.com. So anyway, we had the information up there on screen, and I hope that you guys will take advantage of it. There's some great products there, and it does help us out. Not going to lie to you. It helps us out if you will take advantage of it, and there's also business opportunities in there for you as well. David, do you want to make any comments on that? If not, go ahead and take us out of the first half here. We're under 2 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, Oliabo, I've been taking the supplements, and I got to tell you, like I've been telling people, I feel about 10 years younger just taking them. So it's not like it's a magic bullet or anything, but it's got, you know, all the things, well, not all of them, but a good number of things that your body needs. You know, you need a well-balanced diet, but the supplements have really helped me because, you know, the high phenolic extra virgin olive oil, along with the other ingredients in there, just really helped my body to do what it's supposed to do. I guess that's the best way to say it. But you know, the proof is always in the pudding. So I feel 10 years younger and it's phenomenal. So there you go. And there's an opportunity for everybody as well. Who doesn't love a good product with a good opportunity?
Yeah.
That's it.
Good opportunity.
Like, here's another opportunity.
Go ahead.
If you haven't received Christ yet, now is your opportunity because you were a sinner. Okay. And you've fallen short of the glory of God, but he loved you so much. Matter of fact, you say God so loved the world that he even gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. And then with that is you are already lost. So it's not like, hey, this is a choice you can have. It's you're lost. Or you can receive Christ's payment for your sins. It's as simple as that, okay? Jesus Christ himself has to be God, has to come down as a man, has to qualify to pay off your debt, pay off that debt by dying on a cross and exchanging his life for yours. I mean, it's a simple, you know, legal equation. So, Lord willing, we will see you guys in the second half. Bye-bye.
Welcome to The Last Christian Media Store, the official home of products helping support Last Christian Media and our growing global ministry. Here you'll find faith-centered merchandise without compromise, designed to boldly proclaim truth in a world that desperately needs it. With more than 175 items available, there's truly something for everyone in the whole family. From apparel you can wear with conviction, to home and office items that reflect your faith, including thoughtful gift ideas for every occasion, each item is created to inspire, encourage, and stand firm. Every purchase helps to support the mission of Last Christian Media as we continue to share biblical truth, family-friendly programming, and uncompromising Christian content around the world. We invite you to visit www.lastchristian.net/store and explore the full collection. Last Christian Media, glorifying the Lord and proclaiming faith, and always without compromise.
And welcome back, everybody. Second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. Mr. David Paxton there in New York. David, let's look at creation, economies, and societies that are under strain together. Now, Jesus did not limit birth pains to warfare. He expanded the picture to include creation itself, human systems, and daily survival. So you've got earthquakes, famines, and disturbances are not isolated warnings. They are indicators that the entire world system is under pressure. Looking in Romans 8, Paul describes creation as groaning. That language implies stress, tension, and anticipation. Creation is not reacting to something that is approaching. Today, natural disasters are not merely increasing in number, they're increasing in severity, in unpredictability, and impact on human infrastructure. Floods disrupt food chains, droughts destabilize regions, earthquakes strike in unexpected places, weather extremes strain supply systems that were never designed for constant disruption. At the same time, economies are under unprecedented pressure. Inflation affects daily life. Debt has become normalized. Entire populations live one disruption away from crisis. Wealth concentrates while basic necessities become more expensive and less accessible. Scripture anticipated this tension. If you look in Revelation 6, scarcity is not described as total famine, but as imbalance. Luxury for some, like for instance the elite, and survival, incredible stress for others. Now, what makes the current moment distinct is convergence. Mm-hmm. Environmental stress, economic fragility, and social instability are no longer separate problems. They amplify one another. So birth pains affect the whole body at once. This level of systematic strain does not correct itself quickly. It builds, it compounds, it prepares the world psychologically for the drastic solutions that will be required and that are coming soon. Now, do you agree with that stuff, David, or what do you think?
Yeah, there's a reason for it as well. I know this is talking about the luxury for some. He's talking about the black horse of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. I'm doing actually a study on them. There's some, I don't know how people get it wrong, but it's like, it's so clear. But there's so many interpretations because people really aren't using the Old Testament like they're supposed to. Revelation is exactly that. It's a revelation of the Old Testament for Jesus Christ to reveal it to his people. And all the prophecies are coming to a head, if you would, in Revelation. Mm-hmm. So we got to look at the prophecies. Well, it talks about a time, the black horse specifically, he says, he's got a pair of scales in his hand. You know, he's got, and they're like, that must mean he's weighing out for the, a denarius for one day's wage for a loaf of bread. Well, it doesn't mean he's weighing out. The word scales there is actually the same word that's used for yoke when he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, and don't be unequally yoked. But since a yoke looks like a scale, they're like, that must be a scale because they're weighing out the money for the thing. No, look at what it is. It's a yoke. It's putting a yoke on people so they get into this debt, and then they're stuck, and they have to work an entire day just for enough bread to feed themselves.
Yeah.
And if they want to eat garbage, they eat the barley because that's like animal food, and you get three loaves of barley for a day's wage. So maybe you can feed your wife and your one kid. So that it's really symbolic of the yoke they put on everybody. But that's what they're doing, and that's why they're messing with the economy. That's why all the bankers put everybody in debt. Okay, there's way more than enough money for every last person on the planet, literally, to have millions of dollars.
Yeah.
There's that much wealth in the world. Mm-hmm. There's no reason that it shouldn't be that way, other than they want people to be in bondage. Why? Because they want to be the working class for the elites. Okay. And if they can keep them where they have to go to work every single day, then maybe they won't rise up and maybe they won't fight the system, you know. Mm-hmm. And now that people really are fighting the system, so what they do is they pay people to fight back against them. Oh, listen, I'll take care of you. Uh-huh. And this is what we see, and it just becomes lunacy. Well, why did people get to this point? Well, it started with teaching them about evolution. They have to start, you know, almost 200 years ago, had to start with the evolution nonsense because, well, you're not made in the image of God. You're just a random selection. You're just, you know, offspring of a monkey. Mm-hmm. So you're not really worth anything. They had to get that idea permeated through society, had to get in the idea. Well, yeah, that's it. Just work really hard and then you'll be able to retire when you're old. Well, why can't I be successful from the beginning when I'm young? You know, why does it have to wait for working your whole life? And then they started with the food. Well, let's just make crappy food for them. And now people are sick. Mm-hmm. And now their focus is, oh, I got to take all these pills and do this and that and not the other just so I can remain alive and not as sick. Mm-hmm. Well, you never get any cures. What you get is management of your symptoms. Okay, so they're, oh, you can manage your symptoms. No, no, I want to get rid of the symptoms. But that keeps people occupied. And that's the whole idea. Because Jesus clearly told us, I want you to occupy and build the kingdom for me. But if the devil can keep you occupied with doing ridiculous nonsense that you don't have to do, because God said, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. Well, that sounds like I don't have to go bad. Even King David said, I have not seen the righteous forsaken or the, you know, the seed begging bread. So if you're really following the Lord, you should understand that as his ambassador, it's his responsibility to take care of you. Amen. So all of this stuff is designed not only to dumb people down, but to build a working class for the elites that are coming. And then they don't mind killing off the most of the population because they're testing all the different things that they can do. They're, you know, testing it with the CRISPR technology. Mm-hmm. They're testing it with the third strand DNA. They're testing all these, you know, biological creatures, the transhumanisms. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it, and then even they found, you know, Nephilim blood that they want to use and make their super soldiers because they're testing all this and they know that the end of the age is here. They know the human DNA is near the breaking point where it's just not going to last any long, just like creation, where it says creation groans because it wants to see Jesus come back as well and restore the DNA to the original design, which is what's going to happen. He's going to fix it all back up. Mm-hmm. But they need bodies for their, you know, the fallen angels, the watchers. They need bodies for their children, the Nephilim, that are stuck in the abyss right now. Right. When they come out, they're going to want to inhabit something, and our bodies now aren't strong enough for that. So they're trying all this, you know, manipulation in order to see if they can get bodies for their kids, who they think they're going to let out of the abyss and that. And that's when all the chaos happens. You think it's bad now, you know, wait till, you know, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands of demons come out of the abyss and start attacking you all over the earth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you'll see chaos. Yeah, it's not
you mentioned CRISPR technology, and we'll go over it again for those that haven't ever heard of it before, but it is the manipulation of your DNA. And, you know, the way that they make this a good thing is that they can take away certain things that you would
cut out all your sickness.
Yeah, all the sickness, all, you know, cancer's gone. You know, all this different stuff can be cut out. But what they don't tell you is that other stuff can be put in. And they're also working on, you know, putting stuff in there where you lived for 200 years. Okay, and it's all a thing of trying to beat God, and it's not going to work any more than it worked And we'll just refer you to Genesis 6. We won't go over it again, but look at Genesis 6 and you'll see what happened, and you'll see how it's just a repeat of what happened there. But one thing that I wanted to take from what you said was, you know, people working all the time. I was watching a TV show, and you were talking about how, you know, people are not they really don't know what's going on. You know, the elite have everything, and the rest of us, we get the leftovers. And mm-hmm. that they were turning people who are actually in that lesser group against fighting for themselves, or, you know, fighting mm-hmm. the wrong people. And, you know, what I point to there, you know, all of the protests that are going on in the United States right now, and really all over the world, and they're all aimed at the wrong people or the wrong thing, in my opinion. Okay, there was a show I watched, and the host went out into the crowd, this crowd of protesters, and there was a lady there, and she was screaming obscenities at them and all this kind of stuff, right? And anyway, the final question was, do you have a job? And, mm-hmm. you know, the girl's like, yeah, I got a job. He said, oh, well, what do you do? He said, this is my job.
Yep, I'm working
protesting
right now.
Protesting is my job, okay? Well, that tells me, anyway, everything I need to know. These people are being financed to protest. They have no idea why they're protesting, but they're being paid to do it, and they're going to do it because that's how they pay their bills. You have any comments mm-hmm. on that, David?
Yeah, I mean, did you see the ad? You know, they've shown several different ads in Craigslist. They're paying $1,500 a week for protesters.
Mm, wow.
Just come in. We'll give you the signs, and we'll even pay your gas money if you travel.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see the same people at all the different protests on both ends of the country and everywhere in between. It's like, because normal people just aren't going to do that. Normal people just say, yeah, let me just take a few days off and go protest something I don't like here.
Okay, you know? let me point out one other thing here that I don't think anybody's paid attention to, and that is racism. You know, it's a big deal, right? So, you know, we all pay attention to this. The next time that you see them pan a crowd that's protesting, I want mm-hmm. you to count. Okay, I want you to count the number of people in the crowd that is of color, that is not mm-hmm. a white person. Count the number. I promise you, you're going to use one hand for this count. It's
yep.
you know, and also look at the fact that most of them are either really young, we're talking, you know, up to maybe 25, or really mm-hmm. old, like yep. over 65. But the middle group is not present. Now, am I viewing that correctly, David, or is that just something in my imagination yeah. that I've been seeing?
I mean, you just go look at any one of them, pull up right. all the videos, watch them every day, mm-hmm. and it's you know, the same crowd. You mm-hmm. know?
Yeah, all the time.
As a matter of fact, it's to the point where, you know, the vast majority of black associates that I have, friends and even friends on Facebook and all that stuff, mm-hmm. it's like they get it. They're like, yeah, look at them. It's the liberal white woman, they call them.
Right. And that's
it's
it.
Like it's like, we don't want you to fight for us. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. Okay, let's look at this because we're really going right down this particular road here, and that is deception, apostasy, and the conditioning of the human mind. Now, Jesus's longest and most repeated warning was not about war or disaster. It was about deception. Take heed that no man deceive you. Many false prophets shall rise, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold. Now, the final phrase is not defined only by external turmoil, but by internal confusion. Truth is no longer treated as objective. It's treated as negotiable. Moral absolutes are reframed as harmful. Biblical conviction is portrayed as intolerance, and faithfulness is labeled as extremism. So if you look in 2 Thessalonians 2, Scripture warns that deception will not merely exist, it will be embraced and promoted by those who reject truth. Now, that passage describes a world that no longer wants correction, clarity, or repentance. And this deception is not crude. It's planned. It's sophisticated. It appeals to compassion, safety, unity, and progress. It offers comfort in exchange for silence. It rewards compliance and belittles and attacks conviction. The result is a growing apostasy, not only outside the church, but within it. Churches soften doctrine, leaders avoid difficult truths, and biblical clarity is replaced with cultural accommodation. Now, Jesus said that this was going to happen. The danger of the final phase is not that believers will face hardship. It is that many will lose their discernment. That's why Jesus ends his teaching not with fear, but with instruction. Watch, therefore, and pray always. The goal here is not withdrawal. The goal is readiness. So what do you think of that, David?
Yeah, well, we get a crown. You know, there's a crown for those who love his appearing. Mm-hmm. And we are supposed to watch. We're called as watchmen on the wall.
Right.
You know, and we better not mess that role up, because we know what happened to the first watchers.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. they were watching the wrong things. Mm-hmm. And then it didn't turn out too well for them. But we still have some guardian angels, and we still have the opportunity to rule and reign with Christ. I guess most people don't even realize that. We were designed to actually rule the universe with him. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's really exciting, because he said, you know, behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God. Mm-hmm. Well, that's more than just, hey, I'm just your son. That implied rulership. Mm-hmm. When back in the day, that was the deal. You were a son of the king, and then you would be one of the ruling class. So you would be able to rule over everybody else. And that's what we need to watch for. I think with the watering down of the gospel, Christians get afraid of this, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And that's part of the whole, that's what I can see as the disconnect in the typical churchiosity rapture teaching versus, mm-hmm. you know, what really the Bible says. And yeah. that is, and so the anti-rapture folks have a valid argument. Oh, you're just looking to escape. And it's like, yeah, we count ourselves worthy to escape these things. But he 100% calls us to occupy mm-hmm. until he comes.
Right.
That means we don't just coward everybody, and we don't go running and hide in the corner. Mm-hmm. You know, we preach the gospel, and we expand the kingdom. And that's what we do every single day. We want the rulers to rule with righteousness. So we get some of our people in there. You want them? Does that mean we take over as the church? Mm-hmm. No, it means we become the influence, okay? Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. our kingdom is not of this world. So there's a balance. You can see why some people get off with the NAR movement. They think we're supposed to take over, but it's not. We're not taking over. Jesus is taking over. We're right. supposed to occupy until he comes.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's both and on those things, and it's a matter of you need a full understanding. And that full understanding is we will rule over everybody when Christ returns. Right. So don't be afraid of what's happening now. All right.
David, what you just said there, I can hear blowback coming back on. Well, you know, we're going to rule. Okay. Your deal. Yeah. There's your deal. That's what you're talking about. You're going to be better than me and all that. Well, I hate to tell you this, but we are. You know, yeah. I mean, bottom line
you
is
can join us.
You can be a part of it. I mean, we're not hiding it. We're not hiding it. We're inviting you to take part in it. As a matter of fact, as you guys know, we're now part of Last Christian Media. So there's a lot of shows and everything else on television and all that. Not just Last Christian, our show, but a bunch of different shows and a lot of different genres by a lot of different hosts. But one thing that I'm going to have added to the store, David, I just thought of it today. One of the products that I'm going to have, I'll put this on all of them, okay? Ask me about Jesus. I think that would be a really cool shirt to wear, you know? Mm-hmm. Let's see if, you know, we're trying to be, we're trying to be out there. We're trying to draw people to Christ, and I can't think of any better thing than, you know, plaster that across your chest and
maybe a little tagline on the bottom that says, "I dare you."
Yeah. Yeah. I thought about that too. I didn't know if that would be too bold or not, but yeah.
Why not? Remember, we're here to be bold.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. Because, you know, I'm going to be asking people to do a lot just to put that on, you know, but anyway, go to lastchristian.net/store. And you'll find our store there. It's got a lot of different products, a lot of different designs, and I think you'll enjoy it. And you help the show too when you do that. So yeah. Why not? You know,
I like it.
Yeah. So David, getting back to what Christ said here, take heed that no man deceives you. Mm-hmm. Many false prophets will rise, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold. I can't think of another time in history where this matches up perfectly. How about you?
Yeah, especially the love of many will grow cold. I mean, mm-hmm. you can see it everywhere. Mm-hmm. Everybody just hates each other because it's easy. You know, right. Now you don't have to look someone in the face. You could just make fun of them on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you could run away. And, you know, my father always said something like that. And it kind of translates today, but he says the people in the car, you know, and you know, if you cut them off by accident or whatever, they're honking, they're screaming, they're flipping you the bird. And he says, I wonder if I cut someone off in the supermarket with my shopping cart, if they would act the same way.
Well,
screaming, yelling, trying to run you know, off out of the aisle.
Me, myself,
the bird in your face.
I always said this, and it, you know, please, I hope nobody out there takes offense at this, but I always said there is nothing more dangerous in the world than a woman with a shopping cart. You know,
right?
I always said that when I was in a store, you know, because it seemed like I was always having to duck and dodge flying cart.
Yeah. Well, now look at it. I mean, people, they hide behind a fake profile pic and throw insults at you. And they think they're getting away. So mm-hmm. their love for people is getting cold.
Yes.
And that's precisely where we're at.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't mind throwing a good slap here and there, but it's all, you know, it's for a purpose. I want to wake you up, you
mm-hmm.
know, it's because of my love for you that,
right.
Just like Paul did, you know, he lambasted people. That's what Jesus did. He said, I'm going to lambaste you. So you, will wake up and mm-hmm. then maybe you'll repent. And that's the mm-hmm. idea. As opposed to, well, I just don't care. I'm just going to call your name and run away like a little girl wet her panties. So.
Well, it's the truth is negotiable. Really?
Yep.
Since when? I mean, you know, this is something that's just made up all of a sudden, but it's happening, David. You know, basic fundamental truths are now something that can be negotiated. And I'll just say it right off the top, and that is, man, woman, okay? That's a basic truth here, but do you want to negotiate that? Really? you know, I mean, we say the world's been here for almost 6,000 years, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we say, and we still have one man and one woman. But you guys out there that don't believe this stuff and think the world happened like millions of years ago, that makes it even worse. For millions of years, there's been a man and a woman, and now you're going to change it? Really?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to negotiate this. You tell me who's off.
Yeah,
the, who's,
yeah. They can't even explain how you got the opposite sexes to begin with evolution.
Right.
Now they're going to go the other way and say, no, it's normal to go. No, it isn't. You're not going to have any more people if you do
Mm-mm.
that.
No.
But that's
no.
the goal.
But yeah, you're right. That is the goal. I can't remember what the UN number was for it. I'm talking United Nations, but there is a thing there in the United Nations where they wanted to see the Earth reduce population by overwhelming
to 500 million.
Yeah,
which means,
I mean,
you got to get rid of like 7 billion people.
Right. You know, and this was a goal. I mean, this was actually stated. I mean, you guys dig on it in the UN website. You'll find it. It's out
there.
Well,
the Georgia Guidestones too. That's what it is.
No, it's crazy, you know.
So they were blown up.
Yeah, but that
see, now that's a fun story. We should try and figure out how that was blown up.
Yeah, Jesus said it would happen. He said it would happen. So
yep.
Let's look at this one last thing we got here. This acceleration is not accidental. The convergence is not random, and the pressure is not temporary. The world has entered the final phase, just as Jesus described, and he told his people exactly how to respond to it. And that is, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. You look at Luke 21:28. Not in panic, not in speculation, but in faithful readiness. That's what you need to do, and that's what we try to do. David, go ahead and take us out of the show.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to, again, point out the fact that Iran is collapsing as we speak this show. It's always something else, right? Now, the Iranians are the Persians, and then we know them from before. But they have their descendants of Zoroaster and different things, and they were always good friends with the Jews. Mm-hmm. So I think that's is going to lend some stuff into Israel, because it says they'll come on a war, you know, land of unwalled villages. And that simply means that they weren't ready and they didn't have their defenses up. So why were their defenses down? Well, this mm-hmm. could be one of those things. Mm-hmm. And he said it will bring them back together. And then the symbolism, because they got the lion and the sword and the sun. So that's all, we don't have time to get into that, but you could look that up. It's all symbolism of ancient Zoroastrianism. So while they're over there destroying all the mosques, because all of them reject Islam, it kind of brings them back to their original imagery. But then we heard of all the people having the dreams of Jesus, and in the end times, will that be the catalyst that will bring them back? Because they're burning all the mosques over there. Just destroying them, like completely destroying them, and then setting them on fire, as if that wasn't enough, because they're just so fed up with Islam over there. So it's going to be interesting to see, because he's a Shia Israelite, the Shah for Shia, mm-hmm. and then the other mm-hmm. ones were Sunnis, and that's why they hate each other more than they hate everyone else.
That's true.
So it'll be interesting to see what kind of religion it is, because the Shias, they allow other people in, and they don't do all of this stuff that we see with the radical Islam. Mm-hmm. And that was interesting too. Saudi Arabia said, we will no longer fund any student that goes to the UK for college.
Oh, wow.
Because of the radical Islam in the colleges.
Mm.
Okay. There's a twist of irony for you.
Yeah, because they're going in the direction of Islam over there in the UK.
Yeah, and then Saudi Arabia says, well, we ain't having that, because that's not Islam to us. So it's interesting to see the dichotomy within their religion too.
Yeah.
And then, you know, some of the one prince, I think it was it Qatar, that he said, well, I've received Jesus Christ, and if they kill me, then I'll be in the presence of the Savior.
Right.
So Jesus is really moving over there in the same way that he moved with Nebuchadnezzar. And then Nebuchadnezzar told the entire nation that they have to serve the God of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, mm-hmm. and Abednego.
Right.
So it should be very interesting times here. Maybe that will cause the land of unwalled villages. But it's moving, and then it'll just keep moving faster and faster along those ways. But these were the signs that we says, okay, now the birth pain comes. Mm-hmm. As anybody knows, you get all those big contractions, and then a piece, okay, relax for a little bit. And mm-hmm. then, boom, it comes even harder. So yep. We look for that. In the meantime, even if it doesn't come for a few years, you might not be here tomorrow. Not saying that they won't, but you might not. So you better receive Jesus today. Accept his contract, accept his love for you. Lord willing, we'll see you in the next show. Bye-bye.
Tonight's message was not about fear, speculation, or setting dates. It was about recognition. Jesus told us the end would not arrive suddenly, but through accelerating birth pains, events increasing in frequency, intensity, and convergence, wars without resolution, deception without restraint, pressure on nations, economies, and truth itself. These are not isolated events. They are conditions. And Scripture tells believers how to respond, not with panic, not with retreat, but with watchfulness, faithfulness, and readiness. You can now watch Last Christian Media on television. Just download the churchview.tv app on Roku or Amazon Fire TV, and tune to Channel 131 for family-friendly, truth-centered programming. If this ministry blesses you, please consider supporting us with a direct donation or by visiting our store at lastchristian.net. Stay grounded, stay discerning, stay faithful. And remember, history is not out of control.
It is moving exactly where God said it would.